You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Those are metaphorical pew-pews from the Chinese. They, of course, aren't real weapons. The Chinese government is not arming anyone or anything that we know of at this stage. We were referring to fighting the economic conditions in China. Please do not report us for things that we should not be reported for. Moving on, we are chatting to Director at Denka Capital, Corky Koyman, around the banking space. And we're having this conversation because Nedbank announced that they offboarded almost 200 clients due to reputational risk concerns. This is obviously a very topical conversation around the banking and financial services space because, as you know, we are still grey listed at this stage. And it was because the Financial Action Task Force felt we weren't doing enough to combat certain transactions and certain things. And this obviously comes down to a lot of the transactions that have gone through in the banking space and in other spaces. So let's take a look at this and try and unpack what it all means for banks in South Africa and for the state of you and I as consumers. Good evening, Corky. Thanks, as always, for the time. Let's start by looking at the statement from Nedbank. Obviously, reputational risk concerns. Is this becoming a norm for the banks? Are banks exercising their rights in this respect?
I think it's more a reflection of the pressure on banks from regulators and the media in terms of what they can do and what they can't do. Just by the way, it's very important that in terms of a bank and a client relationship, a bank has the right to refuse to open an account for a client or close an account. But often the concerns are more around profitability of a client or the credit risk of the client. But the focus have moved more and more, as you say, this one, reputational risk, legal risk, or regulatory compliance risk, and especially in South Africa, FICA or money laundering. And just as a matter of interest, internationally, there have been huge fines against ING, against Swedbank, then Danske Bank in Denmark, etc., for their systems not being strong enough or good enough to pick up money laundering. And so there's more and more focus on the banking side in ensuring they are on the right side of the law and regulations, but also reputational risk. Just some silly examples. These days, banks don't want to get involved in coal lending or lending for coal mining because of or fracking because of all of that. In Europe, Russian oligarchs, you don't want to be banking Russian oligarchs. So I think maybe first, what the banks and it seems like Nedbank have done this again, it's very important they decide on a policy. Mm. Once they have a policy as to who they will lend to and which risks they want to avoid or where their reputation could be at risk, then publish that and then be consistent. And that's obviously where there is a contention now. But the systems must be good enough to highlight or flag suspicious transactions, but also suspicious individual accounts. I mean, there was a recent case of JP Morgan America that was financing Jeffrey Epstein and has had huge reputational backlash. So, Nedbank. Sorry, I had to give that introduction just to give listeners an idea of what is happening in the background. Nedbank closed just less than 200 accounts, as you say, because of reputational risk. And in the annual report, they state specifically, and as I know that for all the banks, this is the case, such decisions are made after a rigorous assessment, an internal independent governance process, and due diligence overseen by the board. So obviously these clients, for Nedbank, were seen as a risk in terms of a lot of the aspects I mentioned, but that they don't want to continue with them as a bank.
Mm. Corky, I want to look at the other side of this. So we say that this is, or the banks say that this is from a reputational point of view, and obviously with things around grey listing and state capture, banks do need to be more careful around this. I want to look at the fear side of it. SARS has made it very clear that they're going to come after what they are deeming professional enablers. Yes. Now, they started with the likes of Sasfin. Obviously, that's an ongoing case. Sasfin still has to prove their side of the case in that respect. But SARS almost set a very clear precedent to say, if we consider you a financial institution that is enabling these sorts of things, we're going to come after you. Is this a component of what's driving the decisions by the likes of Nedbank?
Increasingly. They said reputational risk, but that's a grey area, no pun there for the grey listing. But yeah, it's because you start having suspicions about a client or is just engaging in a lot of foreign transactions with individuals who are in themselves are flagged. Do you then just say, I'll close the account on the suspicion, or do you wait and do more homework? I suppose you have to do more homework. But then if in the process of doing that, you are actually facilitating transactions like happened in the case of Sasfin, where the systems allowed payments offshore, which SARS now says that money was actually due to them in terms of all kinds of tax reasons, and now that money can't be brought back, and we're holding the bank compliant, guilty, and must repay that. So banks, I think, as you point out, becoming more and more concerned about their risk, both from attacks, legal attacks, and from regulator attacks, and also from press attacks. So you can understand the position they are in, and one would almost expect better regulation to protect the banks as well, because we don't want banks to just go totally off risk on clients. On the other hand, it's a very difficult matter, and I've been thinking about that the whole afternoon as to what do you do as a bank. But then as a client, I suppose, it's also make sure that your actions are transparent, are clear, and are understood by your bank. And so if you, let's say, for some reason you export, because you're an exporter, you export a lot, make sure that you speak to your bank, make sure they understand where the transactions are going, why, et cetera, et cetera. So it is a two-way situation.
Absolutely. And I agree with you there, Gorky, to say that in some cases, the banks do need to remember that they are the custodians, or it's their responsibility to ensure that they vet their clients, they KYC their clients, they know the full transaction that they are processing there. And I suppose that's what the banks are doing. I mean, in the case of Nedbank, I look at the statement they put out saying that it cost them almost 50 million rand for these sorts of transactions. And I wanted to then get into that in terms of the costly side of it. If the banks don't follow these processes, how costly can it be financially? But also, could this be where ratings agencies sort of look at the banks and say, you know what, you are too risky, therefore we're going to downgrade you as a bank, and that could have other ramifications?
Yeah, you're one step ahead of me. I've been so focused on the legal side, I haven't even thought about, but you're totally right. An interesting case for South Africans might be closer to that. This affected a lot of them. ABN AMRO, Dutch bank, closed all its expat accounts. So anybody who was not resident in the Netherlands anymore, but still had an account with ABN AMRO, regardless of whether that was of 10, 20, 30 years of standing, regardless of what type of transactions, all those accounts were disclosed with one swoop. Clients got notice, within 3 months, we're going to close your accounts, simply because they decided that they don't want to take the risk, and the systems aren't good enough to highlight those risks, that the regulator comes in and says you were facilitating money laundering in account X, Y, and Z, or that the government steps in. So you're quite right. More and more the banks are just deciding we just don't want this type of risk. Swedbank and ING have had big fines. And there again, your regulator will start looking at you, and this type of fine could affect, the rating agencies, the fine could affect your capital, and your client base starts affecting your capital. So you're quite right. The rating agencies can also start looking at that and say, you know, if you have got a less than pristine or a client base that we're worried about the reputations of those clients that you have, that we start putting a red flag there on our own systems on your bank.
Corky, how do we look at the introduction of new banks? So I think about the likes of Old Mutual that have announced that they're pursuing a bank. We know that there's rumors or confirmed rumors that Vodacom intends to introduce a bank. These challenger banks and sort of your neo banks and maybe not your traditional banking model that we've seen in the past, how will these newer banks fare in this environment? Does it make it tougher to come into this space? Does it make it a bigger reputational risk if you bank with them versus the traditional banks that we know?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. And maybe it's important to just, those banks we can split into two. The one is, let's say, your retail banks. It's like Time Bank is a good example. So Time Bank is focusing on the very low end of the market at this stage. Well, more it's actually focusing on a market that has excess cash and wants to place deposits and earn a slightly higher yield. And then it's starting to lend out as well. But the amounts involved are still fairly small. So the risk of those clients being involved in money laundering, let's say, is small. And even then, the fine would be small. So if you move up the scale to Bank Zero and also potentially then Discovery Bank, where Bank Zero specifically targets smaller commercial clients, SMEs, small, medium enterprises. So, and there your risk obviously is becoming bigger that they might be involved in money laundering and there's more oversight duty on your systems. Now, the only advantage that the younger banks have is the systems are new, are fresh, and will have hopefully been designed with those risks in mind to quicker flag transactions that are suspicious. But so that side of the market, I think, is not too risky. It's more your bigger type clients where you face that risk or very wealthy profile individuals. But as those banks grow, they will grow into that risk as well.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that and see if the banks do manage to keep that risk under control as much as they can. For now, we'll leave it at that. Corky, thanks as always for those insights. Corky Koyaman, director at Denker Capital, joining me to look at the banking industry and what they are doing to tackle reputational risk.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.